folks, even though this is a recording, we are coming to you live on the Believe Podcast Network. Crowley Sullivan and Jordan Stone with Sully and Stone. Huge program today. First, however, it's very important, as we always know, to make note of our presenting sponsor. This week, Stone, we've got a new sponsor on board.
Oh, who do we got?
We have this show this week is presented by Schlutt Camping Goods and Services of Moline, Illinois.
Oh, love Moline. Quad Cities again.
Serving campers and outdoorsmen ever since 1973. Schlutt Camping Goods and Services. If you're thinking about going camping, and if you are thinking about buying supplies and goods designed to enhance your camping experience, come to Schlutt and buy your camping goods from Schlutt and utilize the services we provide that are focused on making your camping experience the best it could be. Schlutt Camping Goods and Services of Moline, Illinois, serving campers and outdoorsmen since 1973. Schlutt Camping Goods and Services. Buy camping goods from Schlutt and you will not be schlepping it, Stone.
Wow.
Stone, have you been camping recently?
I have not. I'm not a camper. I'm not an outdoorsman, to say the least. I'm rarely leave my apartment, period. So yeah, no, have not. Have you taken the family camping? I literally have, you know, when I went to camp, I went camping, you know, once on an overnight, which I hate. Are you a camping? I can't see you taking the family camping.
I love camping. I've done it. Yeah, I've done it a lot of times. My daughters really love camping. They love camping.
They like, I mean, roughing it or glamming is
no roughing it.
Really?
Big time. Yeah. The family's been a hardcore camping family. Dates back to my father. He loves camping.
No kidding.
He really, really likes camping a lot. He a lot of great memories from growing up camping.
Give me one real quick. I mean, like, are we talking, you know, cooking over an open fire? Are we talking about catching a fish? What exactly is
all of the above
fondest memory?
All of those things. The Skokie Lagoons, a lot of camping in the Skokie Lagoons.
This won't come as a surprise to you, but I'm much softer than you are. I that's not my cup of tea.
Hey, you know, no something camping. Something that we have to touch on here, Stone. Yes. I got a lot of comments this past week.
Yeah.
About the fact that our program last week ended abruptly.
Well, it does every time. That's the beauty of our show.
It's one of the beauties.
Yeah.
But this time last week, there's that echo again. Yeah. See, That's a good segue into talking about my temporary executive administrative manager, Amanda Boyk. We're going to hold her accountable, and she's prepared to be held accountable in this week's episode, Stone. As the producer of the show, it is Amanda Boyk's job to keep track of the time, which for some reason, by the way, we only have 40 minutes on the Zoom to do these programs, but yet Dax Shepard has a weekly podcast that lasts like 9 hours.
He probably pays though for the Zoom, you know, like people like with a bigger budget than Sully and Stone might have more, you know, more resources at their disposal. I mean, don't get me wrong. I want to thank the people at the, at Schlutt for being here with us today. But I don't think they're ready to give us a Zoom for an hour. And frankly, I don't know who the hell wants to listen to us for more than 40 minutes either. So I think we're right at the right time.
Yeah,
but we cut off right when I was about to say Purdue was going to win. I don't know if that's even a good made
hang on before we give you your moment in the sun there.
So. There's no moment in the sun. I picked against State a bunch of times. So
Amanda,
I've been wrong plenty.
Yes. Amanda? Yes, I'm here.
Are you ready to step up your game and not make sure that the program gets cut off right as I'm asking Stone whether or not a team is going to win or lose?
Here was my idea behind that is I wanted our viewers.
We don't have viewers.
We have listeners.
We'll have viewers.
Yeah, they're going to love that. I wanted them to be in a little bit of suspense, you know?
Oh, that's
especially
good.
Because we didn't have a second show last
week. Yeah, that was the suspense. That really was a cliffhanger. They were all waiting to tune in for part two. And
because we didn't tell anyone we weren't having a second show last week. So it was a real cliffhanger.
Well, not only is a cliffhanger, think of it this way. You know how many people are going to be thrilled that we're back this week?
I know.
Maybe thought we were done?
Yeah,
a lot of there's going to be a lot of happy people this week when we're
a lot of happy people
right back at it. You know,
thanks to the folks from Schlutt. Schlutt Camping Goods and Services of Moline, Illinois, serving campers and outdoorsmen ever since 1973. Schlutt Camping Goods and Services. Buy camping goods from Schlutt and you will not be schlepping it. Stone,
yes.
You were dead on that past defense of states caught up with them, to say the least. I think O'Connell, Aiden O'Connell, threw for 794 yards.
Well, I know your numbers, man. I'm going to give you the number, though, that I found doing a little research for the program is right on. Which, okay, you ready, Carl?
Yeah.
Between the Michigan and the Purdue game, there was 102 passes attempted by both those teams against Michigan State. Guess how many sacks States had in the last two games?
Zero.
Two.
Ooh.
And that's the problem. I mean, the secondary we saw it against Western Kentucky.
Point.
We knew that there was an issue. But like the Miami game of Florida comes to mind again. They were getting a lot of pressure in that game.
Well,
obviously,
actually,
a weak secondary is helped by a big-time pass rush. And that's the biggest problem right now.
Up through like week, I think I want to say six, State was in the top five in sacks. I think State had like 25 sacks through week six. That's really fallen off though. That's a great point. That's a great point. That doesn't get quite enough attention. Everybody wants to talk about the secondary, but there's been no pass rush.
Well, that was their best part of their, I mean, besides, you know, Halliday, who's just been terrific all season. You know, that pass rush has been a real big boon. As I say, you know, the Miami
unexpected
game comes to mind where they broke through and got the fumble. And so that's their biggest problem. But I certainly didn't think those kind of numbers and let some guy burn you for 200 plus, whatever Bell had in that game is.
Well, Bell's an All-American.
He is. Bell's a great player.
He'll be playing in the NFL.
Still.
All right. Now I want to address something here. Our captain for a couple of years now has had a deep conviction about Purdue football rising like a vampire. Is it fair for me to suggest that Purdue team is actually a pretty damn good football
I think
team?
It's fair. We're going to know a lot more, you know, this week in Columbus. We're going to know a lot more, or against. I think it's in Columbus. I'm sorry, Carl.
It is. They leave the friendly confines of Ross Aid,
and they go to the Horseshoe.
Yeah, and they go to the Horseshoe, which is a big game.
Well, wow. I mean, Purdue, give them credit. I mean, Iowa. I know we're giving credit, but let's go back a little bit. The Iowa game on the road, that's where my head is thinking that they're going into Columbus. They showed what they could do in Iowa City. I think they're going to be able to throw the ball. I mean, right now, their offense is playing with a ton of confidence. I really like the backs, too. Backs on the backfield.
I agree.
I mean, they're a tight end. They're legitimately really high-powered offense. And by the way, everything we've seen from Ohio State, this is not a vintage Ohio State team.
No,
Columbus
is
no
vulnerable. They're vulnerable.
They're very vulnerable.
They are.
I don't think Purdue is going to get it done, but there's...
It's a tall order.
It is a tall order because Purdue's defense is no great shakes. But at least the pass rush could maybe give, you know, listen, every week with Ohio State, we think the same thing because what's Ohio State's best win? What? I don't know.
That's a good question.
I don't even have an answer to that.
They've
blown out a bunch of mediocre Big Ten teams that we don't even talk about. Rutgers and the Maryland's. We don't talk about those teams.
They're gonna get a chance.
Yes, it's coming.
They're gonna get a challenge this week. And then they're gonna have State coming into Columbus.
Yep.
We're gonna see if Columbus is indeed Columbus over the course of the next couple of weeks. But Purdue, if they win this game, I saw a line that Columbus is giving 20.
Yeah, that's what I saw too today. Yeah,
that seems like a lot of points, doesn't it?
Seems that way, but it might not be enough. Yeah. You know, it just depends
on the defense. Where do you lean on that one? Where do you lean?
I mean, right off the bat, I mean, I'm with Purdue. I like Purdue plus the 20. I mean, I'm with you. It just seems like too many. That way. I mean, I think Purdue's going to score points.
Yeah.
I mean, figure this. If Purdue scores 28, maybe 24 points, they have a chance to cover that game. I don't think they're going to win the game. I want to be very clear about that.
Let me ask this question, and I'm going to ask it on behalf of our captain. Is this the most that Purdue has been spoken about on a podcast of any kind in the last, since podcasts were invented?
Sure. Boiler up. Hey, they've earned it, though. We only talk about guys that earned it. I mean, that's Purdue was a very good win at home against the ranked team, a very good win at the time against an Iowa team that maybe me and you were deluded into. I'm guilty as charged, but at the time, I sure thought Purdue's defense was one of the best in the country. And
you mean Iowa? You thought Iowa?
I meant Iowa, pardon me. Yeah, Iowa's defense was phenomenal, and they tore Iowa apart. So Purdue's earning the good talk they're getting on Sully and Stone.
If
they beat Ohio State, we'll be leading with the Boilers
and Neil Armstrong next Tuesday. We're going to talk all about Neil Armstrong's entire
life. Neil Armstrong.
They'll be dedicated to nothing but Neil Armstrong.
And Johnny Wooden.
And Johnny Wooden, yep. Well, in that case, we should probably dedicate at least a segment to Sam Gilbert. Hey, State's loss there to Purdue, does it register with you at all that loss basically means nothing?
Well, I know where you're coming from. I know what Coach Tucker said after the game, that all the goals that they set are still attainable. But, of course, that cushion is gone. Now they need to win out.
But they were going to have to win out anyway. They were going to have to do that anyway. And in the AP and college,
let me take you back one quick sec. If they had won every game with the exception in Columbus, then they would have had. Let's say they had won in Columbus, and then what I'm trying to get is it one loss Michigan, one loss Ohio State, and one loss Ohio State. Michigan State, Michigan, and Ohio State all have one loss. Then, you know, there would have been a lot of chatter there. And I don't, you know, I know your favorite documentary, Tiebreaker. So
Tiebreaker.
I don't know exactly.
Yeah, Tiebreaker. It's a great documentary film.
Your favorite.
I really
recommend it. The Big Ten Network.
The Ann Arbor ethos. Michigan State they host Maryland this Saturday. They host Maryland.
Must win, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean,
they've had a great year, but you can't trip up this week. You got to get Maryland, and then they got to have all the chips on the line in Columbus. I mean, how fun is that? I mean, that would be great.
Here's what I was getting at. When I talk about the Purdue loss really not meaning anything, if State takes care of business against Maryland, which I expect that they should.
They should.
They really should. They're going into week 11 at Columbus with a 9-1 record, with everything on the line, in a season when 98% of the people out there had them winning 3 or 4 games. Do you remember a beautiful late summer evening, UK High and I having a meal at maybe it might have been a Tavern on Rush?
Yeah, that sounds nice. Outside.
We're sitting outside, and you guys said to me with the roundtable-esque condescension, which is accepted and actually required, how do you think State's going to do? And this was the late summer of 2015, and I said, they're going to go undefeated and they're going to make the college football playoff. And the laughter in my face.
I'm sure.
It was the cackling.
Definitely.
And I was wrong that year. State lost one game. They won the Big Ten and they went to the college football playoff. The entire scenario right now is almost identical. You've got a Maryland game that is a must win. Then you go into Columbus. Now, back in 2015, State went into Columbus without the winningest quarterback in program history, Connor Cook. He was not able to play. And that was the game when Michael Geiger kicked the game-winning field goal and windmilled, you know, 75 yards down the field. Do you remember that?
Of course. Iconic. Absolutely.
Yeah. And this Columbus team, I don't think is half that Columbus team. That might have been Urban Meyer's best Columbus team. And so all I'm saying is that the chances of State beating Maryland are good. And then I would not, we'll obviously talk about it next week, but I just wouldn't automatically say, yeah, that's a loss for State and Clemson.
I wouldn't either. School. I would never say that. Hey, we see upsets all the time. I mean, look at Cincinnati. I mean, all the talk about Cincinnati.
Let's talk about Cincinnati. Good call.
God, I mean,
they're on the rundown. My temporary executive administrative manager, Amanda, does a very nice job with the rundown. Earlier, I held her to account on not having the time right on last week's program, but she does deserve a whole lot of credit for the way she puts together the rundown for this show. And she's got Cincinnati. It wasn't next topic up, but as long as you bring it up, Stone.
Well, I bring it up under the context of, like you say, anything can happen, because this Cincinnati team, where everybody's trying, I said last week that they would be ranked. I knew they'd be ranked behind State, but boy, they really got, bamboozled in the first college rankings that came in from the
committee. You really think that's a bamboozling?
I thought they'd be higher. Did you think they were going to be that low? I don't think you did. Did you think they'd be six?
I think I said I thought they were going to be two.
Yeah.
I think I said that.
So how do they react by being snubbed, by being there? They go out and they play a lousy game. I mean, Cincinnati's played lousy week after week lately.
Against really bad teams.
Yeah, too. That's the problem. We expect them to kick Tulane's ass and
so that's ass why they awful. That's why they're
well, I understand, but I'm saying this past week they had all the incentive that they had just been, goofed on by being six, and how do they answer the bell? By a prayer of a guy
lucky to win that game.
Handed off to a 300-pound guy on a handoff in the last play where the guy fumbles. One of the dumbest calls I've ever seen. This guy was 500 pounds. They hand the ball to this slug.
By the way,
fumbles the ball.
Speaking of dumbest calls ever, you just said that.
Yeah, I didn't like that call.
Yeah, but can we give a shout out to Schnee for his suggestion that the Buffalo Sabres no goal in game 7 of the Stanley Cup in 19, I think that was 1999.
Yeah, we certainly give a shout out to Schnee, period. But that goal, I mean, the NHL really doesn't come to mind when, there's the ratings speak for themselves. I'm one of the few people that watches the NHL, but yeah.
You watch the NHL.
That was an issue with Buffalo.
I like hockey too.
Buffalo and Dallas. You watch that too? You like the Knights, right?
Yeah, she goes to the Knights games.
I'm a diehard Red Wings fan from Detroit.
Oh, that's right.
My first game hockey was a Vipers game.
That's a minor league hockey team. Yeah, that's like Flint.
There's a team in
Think I could name two NHL players, and I have no problem with that.
Yeah, but you're in the majority.
I maybe owe an apology to the good people at Schlutt, but like I couldn't name two hockey players.
It's funny you say that. Moline has minor league hockey.
What's the name of the team in Moline?
I'm trying to remember because not the Schlutt? Moose. Something. It's definitely Schlutt's a big. They have a box there. I know Schlutt has a
suite. Big,
they entertain a lot in that suite there.
Yeah. Do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, Cincinnati. By the way, I like it when people pronounce it Cincinnati. You ever notice that, Stone?
Yeah, I do too.
What's
that? A lot of people. I'm wondering if it's people from Cincinnati that pronounce it Cincinnati. Do you think that's what it is?
I definitely think that's what it is. I mean, that goes right with the five-way chili.
Yeah.
You ever had five-way chili?
Which is I haven't had it, but it looks awful.
Yeah.
And I'm like a raccoon. I'll eat just about anything. But they did like a thing on it on game day or something, and even the Cincinnati players were like, yeah, that stuff's gross.
Well, I tried it at Skyline Chili, and it wasn't what I was expecting. I had been building it up in my head for a long time.
Where is Skyline Chili?
It's like a fast food chili place in Cincinnati where you drive through and you get your four-way, five-way, and Yeah.
It sounds
wasn't great.
A plural way to talk about people from Cincinnati. Like, you call me a Michigander.
Well, great call, Amanda. Michigander. It's one of my favorites. You with me on that, Stone?
Oh, yeah. It's got a nice ring to it, Michigander. Yeah.
By the way, what is someone from Illinois? Like an Illinoisan?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Well, there you have it. Hey, Illinoisan. So getting back to Cincinnati. Like, if you're going to bitch and moan and whine, and by the way, we're going to get in a moment to the worst whiner in the history of college football, who's still whining about getting his ass handed to him in East Lansing almost 2 weeks ago now. But with regard to Cincinnati, if you're going to whine about your ranking, which is sixth, you're Cincinnati and you're sixth, go out and destroy Tulsa. And I don't know if they run the table, I still don't know if they make it.
Yeah, no, I don't think they do. I think unless a lot of things are going to need to fall their way for them to make it. Other teams ahead of them need to lose. Yes, absolutely well said, Crowley. Yeah, there are a lot of things have to go their way right now. I don't even see it. And by the way, I think they're going to lose anyways.
I think so too. At the very least, what they have to do is destroy teams. Like, you can't win 28-20 again at home in Nippert Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, game day's there. The whole world's, you know, everybody's watching Cincinnati. You know, Corso's putting on the Cincinnati Bearcat head, like, you know, 25-point favorite. What's he going to do, pick Tulsa? And, you know, it's like you come out there and you lay a complete egg when you have the lead and you give it away, and then you get lucky that, by the way, on third down, the quarterback keeps it and he's in easily, and for some insane reason, he slides.
Yeah,
and what was down that? I have no idea why I didn't just walk in. Tulsa's Tulsa. That's why the coach is going to get fired at the end of the year. Philip Montgomery is going to be out of work at the end of this year.
You think Tulsa is going in a new direction?
I don't want any direction will be fine because no one's going to notice anyways, but the head coach will be relieved of his duties at the end of the year.
Speaking of new directions,
yeah,
one of your throwing stones guaranteed that Scott Frost would not be back. He's coming back.
Unbelievable.
He's
coming back. And by the way, under the guy that you're going to talk about whining, under the Harbaugh model of financing, which is fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, that is a fascinating approach.
Here's the beauty of this. Only the Big Ten is implementing this plan of cutting your pay, cutting your buyout, so we can fire you soon, but not have to pay you, where the SEC says, we don't care about what your buyout is. We don't care about anything. And by the way, we admit we're not firing you for cause. We're going to pay you $17 million at Orgeron. Go away. We're going to pay you, Gus Malzahn, $21 million. Go away. We don't even want the pretense of pretending. We don't want to see you around this facility.
Do you think
Nebraska? No problem. Come on in. No problem. $4 million from $5 million? Sure, Scott Frost, the coach. Where else is he going?
Ed Orgeron would have been mid through the season asked to step down at the end of the season due to his off the field transgressions if he was 8-1?
Probably not. No. Winning is at a very high winning is everything in the SEC. It's a completely different planet.
Well, it just means more there. It just means
more. A hell of a lot more there. And they have the money to back it up. And now they that do. Texas and Oklahoma are coming on board, there's a lot more money coming into the league. But yeah, I was very surprised that Frost
I'm stunned. I mean, I'm not saying that I think it's normal, but it didn't surprise
me. Here's the kicker, though. One last quick note on it. You know, everyone points to the effort Nebraska had against Michigan State and had against Michigan and had against Ohio State.
They lost those games.
Exactly. No, they lose all those games, but they were somewhat close games. But how about the games the other games they've lost that weren't even close at Minnesota?
How about Illinois?
Yeah, Illinois. I mean, what are we talking about with this guy? This guy's a complete disaster. He's going to bring a whole new offensive staff, and it's not going anywhere. I mean, and by the way, it was really I read today, and it was pointed out very smartly that, remember, we're talking about the Big Ten West. Can you imagine what this guy would be doing in the East of the Big Ten? Jesus, I mean, it cut his pay to $20 in the East. I need to keep him. I mean, thank God that guy's in the West. I mean,
you want to hear something really interesting about the head coach at Nebraska?
Yeah.
He asked my wife out on a date many, many years ago.
When you were with her?
Yeah, when I was with her. She declined. Politely.
Thank God.
She declined. Yeah. Hey, Ann Arbor's
head coach.
You're
better looking than he is, by the way.
Thank you. Ann Arbor's head coach.
Yes.
He's got a colossal football game coming up this Saturday at Penn State.
But he's had a hard time with the Nittany Lions.
Well, he's had a hard time with any team with a pulse ever since he got there.
Ranked pulse.
Okay. Well, he is still at it. And I mean, he is still whining about bad calls in the game where he and his team blew a 16-point lead and lost to their non-rival rival. And the thing that he said was, the film doesn't lie. That's true. Here's where the film doesn't lie. Kenneth Walker III gashed you
Yes.
For 197 yards and 5 touchdowns. And you blew a 16-point lead, and Michigan State won the game. We're still talking about it. And anybody that's a UMAA-er that wants to say, yeah, well, the media is doing this, the media is doing that, a reporter asked them a question. Hey, did you ever hear back from the Big Ten about some of those calls that you thought were bad calls? Here's the proper response. You know what? That's in the past. You got to give our opponent. You don't even have to name the opponent. Just say, we got to give our opponent in that game the credit. We didn't get the job done. We're focused on Penn State this week. Instead, this idiot opens up the gigantic can of worms by going on and on and on about the film doesn't lie, about how the mistakes were made. And interestingly, the Big Ten, which I wouldn't expect them to one way or the other, but nobody confirms or denies
right.
that there was ever even a discussion to be had.
Right. We're taking Jim's word, Coach Harbaugh's word, that yes, that he had gotten the
word
news from the
Big
Ten officiating.
Like one of the janitors at the Big Ten called him up.
Listen, I think Michigan State, you know, like you said, they had a 16-point lead, Michigan, and they gave up 2 2-point conversions, and they gave up 2 4
Make a play. Make a play.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that, and I don't see any need for him to drudge that up. So I am in agreement with you, because it just there's no point to it right now.
And Mel
Tucker, he's got to focus on Penn State, and it's a big game, as you said, for Michigan. This is a big, big,
huge game. And we're going to
win this
game.
They're in a good spot.
Well, that's a tall order considering Harbaugh's track record. Mel Tucker, right after about 20 minutes after he's doing his press conference, and he's asked about what could have been construed as questionable calls in the loss at Ross Aid, and Mel Tucker just delivers a bomb. Yeah, I've never liked talking about bad calls. Anybody that talks about bad calls, that just makes your program soft, gives your players and your coaches a way out. That's not what our culture is about.
Yeah.
That's the difference between those two coaches.
Listen, I'm a Harbaugh guy, and I agree. I was surprised he brought it up. I know which was weird, because he had very much made a point of saying, I'm not going to talk about the officiating after the game, taking quote unquote the high road.
Something's wrong.
And then he came right back down into talking about it. But listen, it was a bad loss. I mean, that was a huge, huge rivalry game that Michigan thought they were the better team, and they lost. So it stuck in his craw. That's the kind of competitor he is. But now he's got to turn the page to Penn State. And if he wins this game,
Tell me why he would win this game.
This Penn State team. I'll tell you exactly why. Because this Penn State team is not the team that we saw. The moment that Sean Clifford got hurt in the Iowa game was the defining turning point for this Penn State season, period. They were looking great. Everything that I thought I was going to see in this Penn State team was happening. That Clifford was going to start keeping the ball.
He's back in the field.
Yeah, but he's not. He's shy. He's gun shy. He doesn't want to run. Even last week's effort at Maryland was bad. They got a pick six for an 90-yard return, and it wasn't a good game last week. Dotson's tremendous. Speaking of wide receivers that are tremendous.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Dotson's so great. But they don't run the ball at all. They don't run the ball. I don't know the number. Maybe you look this one up, because I didn't, Carly. Did you look up the number on Penn State, Michigan by chance? You have it?
No, I
okay.
didn't.
I would guess that it's a pick 'em right around there. And I'll go right on these airwaves right now and say,
yeah, go on these
Michigan's
airwaves.
A winner in this game.
Michigan goes in there and wins. So
we're out of doubt. I don't even think it's close. I think Michigan's better. I think Michigan's. Listen, I'm a big Penn State guy too. You know how often I plug James Franklin as the greatest, but this game is Michigan's better. The season, Michigan's better. Penn State has not shown me anything that shows me they're going to win this game.
Okay,
this is Illinois, for God's sake.
I'll be surprised just because Harbaugh's teams at Michigan have never won a game like this. They just haven't.
Well,
now let's move on.
Get ready.
I want to hear a few words from you on Dan Mullen and Florida.
Wow. I mean, 20, 30 guys had the flu. So what? I mean, the program, like LSU, Alabama, LSU's got plenty of guys hurt.
What kind of?
If they had 20 or 30 guys out there, 20.
Why would you even say that? Yeah, a bunch of our players had the flu.
Yeah,
I've never heard a coach ever even.
Well, it was a rampant thing, and I'm not putting anything down on that. I'm just saying a program of Florida stature could have 20 guys out and still should have beaten the hell out of South Carolina. Who cares? I mean, the backups at Alabama beat South Carolina by 30. The backups at you know, the problem at that program flat out is that Dan Mullen's done a lousy job of recruiting, and then
and it ridiculous appears, though,
comment it, yeah, that, you know, the, recruiting's not, you know, the top of his priority list a couple weeks ago, paraphrasing. Yeah,
well, so to that point, not only does he appear to be, as I've said all along, not nearly as good of a coach as everybody wants to just pretend that he is, but he's not the smartest guy either. No. And when he answers a question, well, about recruiting, by saying, well, we're in the season, we'll address recruiting later. Yeah. Isn't that a head scratcher? You're the
beyond head a head scratcher. The people in Gainesville lost their minds when he said that, because they know that down the street, Saban's the best recruiter in the country. Auburn's bringing in great players. LSU's bringing in great players. Texas and Oklahoma are going to be bringing in great players. I mean, if you don't have the horses, there was a great comment 2 weeks ago right after Mullen said that. Then, of course, jumping on that Kirby Smart, they asked the same question the next day. And Kirby Smart said, coaching's about 25%. The players are about 50%. He made it very clear that recruiting is 365 every day, all year long.
Oh, yeah.
That's the truth. I mean, you can be a great coach, but, hey, you got to have the horses, too.
I was having dinner with the bootlegger's son. At Twin Anchors, one of our favorite joints. This was about maybe 6 years ago, and I asked him who was the toughest coach to go against, and he started laughing, and he said, "Whoever had the best players."
Right.
Great answer.
Great, no question.
Hey, are you ready to throw some stones?
I am. And by the way, I want to dedicate throwing stones to a guy that's playing college basketball right now for his sixth season. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm dedicating this to Jalen Coleman Lands, who's playing currently right now against your Michigan State Spartans for KU.
It's KU.
It's KU. I got my K and U.
Yeah.
But Kansas University via the route of, you ready? Illinois, 2 years. DePaul, 1 year. Wow. Iowa State, 1 year. Ooh. Now he's headed over to Lawrence. The guy's unbelievable.
That's good. And
by the way, he's jacked bad threes at every spot. So it shouldn't be a problem for him to jack up some bad threes for Coach Sal.
New presenting sponsor this week.
Good.
Throwing stones. Oh, yeah. Volkanov's Hair Club for women going through the transition of becoming a man is the presenting sponsor this week of Throwing Stones. Volkanov's Hair Club for women transitioning is a semi-proven product that has shown the ability to speed up the process of bodily hair growth. Women transitioning oftentimes find it difficult to replicate the authenticity of a man's hair in specific regions. Volkanov's Hair Club for Women Transitioning is zeroing in fascinatingly on a capability to specialize in the formation of chest hair, leg hair, back hair, underarm hair, and pubic hair. And a number of women have expressed satisfaction with the product. Were you aware of that, Stone?
Not at all.
Taken orally, this product can be shipped to one's home with sophisticated discretion and can be ordered at the website, which is, take down a pen, get ready. Here it comes. www.hairclubforwomenintransitioning@woman/man.net. Be sure to go to the portal in there that allows you to customize the platform itself. That's the website, to suit your own personal needs, and then enter into the VIP subscriber hub, where monthly specialty items can be purchased through a very easy to follow QR code process. Volkanov's Hair Club for Women Transitioning. We are hair for you.
Wow.
Stone.
I'm throw exhausted some stones. From that. I don't even know. All right. I'm going to tell a quick story for throwing stones and you'll love the ending, Crowell. So, okay. A few weeks ago, I'm driving down the street. I'm driving on Lakeshore Drive. I cut over three lanes to make my exit, barely make it. I'm going at a high rate of speed. I pull up to a light. Guy pulls up next to me. goes absolutely berserk on me, screaming at me. He goes, every profanity in the book, I'm going to call the authorities. I'm going to get your car. I'm going to get you, and you're the worst person in the world. As he's giving me every profanity in the world, his 12-year-old daughter approximately is sitting next to him in the seat. So I point that out to him. I say, you're a real class act. Your daughter's sitting right. He goes even more crazy, opens his door, wants to come fight.
Crazier. Not more crazy, crazier.
Thank you. And yeah. I'm looking at this guy, and I said, we're done. I put my window up, and I pulled the right to the garage I was going to, and you know, that was that. But
yeah.
So fast forward to today. I'm going down a one-way street. I'm stuck. I'm not moving. There's a
same guy.
Bus. Well, hang on. There's a school bus on the right, and there's a huge sinkhole, and I'm not moving. All of a sudden, the UPS truck pulls up into the one area that we potentially could go up on the curve and go by. So now we're completely deadlocked. All of a sudden, I see this man in my rearview mirror run out of his car, go screaming at the UPS guys, starts taking their picture, telling him he's going to get them fired, says he's going to fight him right there. The guy says, please throw a punch so I can kick your ass, the UPS guy says to him. As he's turning back, and I'm kind of rooting for this guy because I'm like, yeah. I turns around.
Wait, you're rooting for the UPS guy?
No, I'm rooting for the guy going to talk to him because I'm hoping I can move my car. And I'm like, oh, this guy's on my team. As he turns around, it's the same guy.
Same guy.
And guess what he's wearing? A University of Michigan pullover.
He's wearing a University of Michigan pullover.
Of course. And I thought of you immediately. University of Michigan pullover. And I said, this guy is the same douchebag that he was before. And
A+.
Yes.
A+.
I figured you'd like the ending
throwing
of that.
Stone.
That A was your plus. Best throwing stone.
One yeah,
stone.
That was your best throwing stone.
Thank you. I knew you. And by the way, Kevin Hyland told me to tell that story today. So I want to give him credit.
That's a beautiful
shout
one.
Out to Kevin.
Good. Yeah, shout out to KI. And another shout out to Volkanoff's Hair Club for Women Transitioning, right? Right?
If you read that whole spot again, we're going to be out of time on this podcast.
No, but we do have to we have to give them the credit for sponsoring this segment. You think we did?
I think so. Yes.
Volkanoff's Hair Club for Women Transitioning. We are hair for you. Great throwing stones, Stone. You want to know who's a CFP lurker?
Yeah.
Notre Dame.
Let's
Notre
close
Dame.
With that. The Irish.
Notre Dame.
Yes.
But you know who else is?
Quietly.
And nobody's talking about it. They're not going to lose.
Because they haven't
game.
Played anybody really for
well,
a while.
That's
a shame. They just didn't have, they have their schedule and it just turned out there are a lot of duds like North
that's
Carolina.
True.
We
that's
kind of
true. By the way, just in case we get cut off, and I want to just point out that my temporary executive administrative manager, Amanda, is doing a great job on the clock. But just in case we get bumped, due to time constraints, it's been a while since I've been able to plug the next podcast.
Yeah, who are they having on today?
Well, Fran Healy and Tom Rinaldi. Today's guest, John Gutekunst.
Why can't I put that together? Who is that?
He succeeded Lou Holtz at Minnesota.
No wonder I couldn't put that together.
Yeah, he was there for about 7 years. His record was about 24-37, I'd say.
The first time that Rinaldi and Fran Healy stumped me on their guest.
Yeah, well, Fran Healy and Tom Rinaldi have a great podcast. Stick around for it. Alabama looks vulnerable. Do we agree on that?
We do, yes.
Columbus looks vulnerable. Do we agree on that?
We do.
Ann Arbor at Penn State, you think Ann Arbor goes in there and just gets it done big time.
Big time.
You want to give me a score?
They win by 14.
Well, that's not exactly big time.
That's pretty big on the road.
That's a victory. That's good.
All 24-10. Right.
If State wins at Maryland, they're 9-1 going to Columbus. Tell me, do they win at Maryland? You got 5 seconds.
Yes. They win. They beat Maryland. Yes.
Stay tuned for Fran Healy and Tom Rinaldi.
So long, everybody. They're still on.
Our sponsors have a really long.
Stone, are you there?
Yeah, are we still on?
We might.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it.
That's what I'm talking about.